be long. September 18th, and Nick and Sheila is going to be getting married. Counting the days, I'll bet you. Let's see, that won't be this Saturday, but I think it's the following Saturday. Nick's saying, yeah, this preacher. Special couple. I'd like you to turn your Bible to two places. The first place, 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2 and verse 3. And then also, if you would get Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. And once you get it, would you stand? 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Let's all stand together. I'm going to read you Thessalonians, but I'm not preaching that now. I'm preaching it tonight. But I want you to know what I'm going to be preaching tonight, because I want you to consider to come back. Look at that scripture, says in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. I wanted to preach this morning, but the Lord says, nope, you wait till Sunday night. If you want to hear an old fundamental Baptist preaching message, I mean a real fundamental hard-looking preaching message, you come back tonight. I've got some stuff here that's going to shake you up. I'm going to make some statements that's going to shake you up. And I'm going to give you some statistics that some known fundamental preachers and that you know their names say what they think. Look what it says. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, talking about the day when Christ comes back. I'm not going to talk about the rapture tonight. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away. How many see that? Amen. I'm going to be preaching tonight about the apostasy that's going on. Here's what I'm going to preach on. Brother Mark, I'm preaching a message, the great falling away. The great falling away. Can I tell you something? It's already started. Can I tell you something? In just a preview, it's been going on for quite a while. Tonight I'm going to tell you what it has produced and why it started. And number three is a three-pointer, what we can do about it. Now, turn to Luke. Well, I hope you come back tonight. I know it's Labor Day weekend, but you know what, Brother Mark? The people that really want to hear the Word of God, I left them for the steak for tonight. This morning, I'm going to give you the dessert first and the steak tonight. This morning I want to bring a message to you from Luke chapter 8. The person you thought was impossible. You know that we look at people sometimes and say, well, that's an impossible case. That person can't get saved. That's impossible. The Lord put this scripture on my heart during this week. And I just thought about it and thought, I said, I'm going to. And so I sat down yesterday and he gave me some thoughts from the scripture. Look at Luke chapter 8. And I want to challenge you today. Every one of us have people we think is an impossible case. There's a man that gets saved here. He was an impossible case. I want to give you some thoughts about it. In Luke chapter 8, boy, I hope you don't miss that great falling away tonight. I'm going to bring some old time stuff to you. I'm going to bring some stuff to you. Some of you are going to get rattled. Some of you are going to get shaken. Some of you are going to think, wow, I never heard preachers say those things. You come tonight. And they look at Luke 8, 26. And they arrived at the country of Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. And wore no clothes. That guy was stark naked. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, that's what people got to do. They got to see Jesus. He cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes he caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil in the world. They actually put him in chains, Bobby. And the guy was, see, devils give you supernatural power. Don't, when you see people that are possessed, don't mess with them. They got supernatural powers. He broke chains right off of them. Notice, it's for real. And and Jesus asked him, saying, verse 30, what's thy name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would go and would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And then when the devils, then went the devils out of the man, and he entered into the swine. They entered the swine, the herd ran violently down the steep place in the lake and were choked. And when they fed them, they saw what was done, that they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Boy, it's amazing what Jesus can do for a person. And they were afraid, and they also which saw it told them by what means he had possessed the devils was healed. By the way, did you notice Jesus, I'll mention this earlier, you know, Jesus had right before this, he just crossed that lake. Now he's thrown those sheep ran right back into that lake that he had just crossed. That's a thought, isn't it? Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he ran into the ship and returned back again. Look at verse 38 and 39. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. Do you ever notice when people really get saved, they want to be with Jesus? Do you ever notice that? But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house. Show how great things God had done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Let's pray. Father, you put the scripture in my heart, and I'm just being faithful to preach it. Lord, I pray you'll bless what you put in my heart to speak. There's a great truth here for all of us to put in, used in our life. Fill me, Holy Spirit, and go up and down the aisles and do the work of God. And we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We see that this man literally that was full of devils, that was literally a wild man, he gets saved. This man was the last person on earth we would think could be saved or would be saved. I mean, this man of the tombs, who would have, if we would have voted, we'd have probably voted, he was the one least expected to come to Christ. Remember when we used to go to high school, they said, when they signed the what they expected, least to do this. I think they would have voted him least to be, how many think they would have voted him least to be saved in the city? Least expected to come to Christ in the city. This man had a reputation. He was a maniac. He was a wild man. He was ruthless. He was scary. He was. People feared him. He was a wild man. He lived in a tomb instead of a house. He preferred the tombs over the house. Nobody was going on visitation to see him. He didn't have no dogs either, Brother Mike. He was the dog. He was the wild dog himself. Not even the preacher was going to visit him in the tomb. Can you imagine them going on visitation on that Saturday? Say, let's go up and see the wild man at the tomb. The preacher says, man, I ain't going up there. You're crazy. That guy's wild. Hello? Plus, he hadn't got no clothes on. I mean, this guy was a mess. I'm trying to lay a foundation. I'm not going to preach long today. I'm just going to get, I want to get us, I want to give us all a great thought to think about. I mean, this guy was a mess. He was filled with devils. We would think of and classify him, Brother Joss, as the impossible prospect to bring to Christ. How many think we would classify him as an impossible prospect to bring to Christ? Raise your hand if you think that. I would. I'm not lying to you. I'm just being honest. Some of you liar. Brother Rod, I guarantee as good as you got, I don't think you'd want to be go up there knocking on that tomb and say, hey, crazy man, come out here. I want to tell you about Jesus. I don't think just Josh would drive up there with the bus. Hey, you want to ride our bus tomorrow? I don't think he'd be coming in on the bus. We would say in our heart, think with me, I just want you to get this, because I think God's going to use this for my life and your life. Because there's people out there that we think that are impossible to reach. Carl, there's people that we write off. How many believe people wrote this guy off? How many times have we wrote people off in our life? We would say in our heart, Brother Mike, there's no hope for him. Not a chance. Preacher would say, no way, Jose. How many agree with that? I mean, we would totally given up on this man. And if we would really be honest, Brother Rod, we would have written this man off as an impossible person to reach for Christ. Say, man, I'd say, Roddy, that guy's impossible to reach. He's deranged. He's wild. He ain't going to listen. He can't understand. Hello, anybody still with me? Brother Jack, we would have given up on him and said, that guy's going to hell forever. The devil has him, and he's in the devil's clutches, and we can't get him out of the devil's clutches. I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one clutch that people can't, and that's when you're in God's hands. No, not the devil's. We would have said in our heart, there's a lost soul. We can't reach him for Christ. He's doomed for hell forever, and there's nothing we can do about it. How many would agree that that's probably the sentiment we would have? But I got here. Praise God. Thank God Jesus didn't give up on him. Thank God Jesus didn't give up. And thank God, even though people 40-some years ago wrote me off, Brother Mark, on Galena Street as a wild kid. I was a wild maniac on Galena Street. Thank God over 40 years ago, God didn't give up on me. Amen. How many are glad God didn't give up on you? Say amen. Did you know why we give up on people's lives? You ever wonder why we give up on people's lives? For the most part, because we only look on the outside of man. We look at their exterior appearances. Hello? All we see is their outward appearance, and we make a judgment from the outward appearance. How many say yes or no to that? But God looks beyond the outward. He looks in the inward parts. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says that the Word of God goes, he pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, we might not be able to reach people, but God can. You know what we forget? And I'm going to bring out some of this tonight. We're not reaching people. We never have. Psalms 3:8 says salvation is of the Lord. We don't convert people. We don't save people. It's all of God's drawing and God's saving and God convicting. We don't do nothing. I'm going to tell you right now, I got to be and watch my sister-in-law get saved Tuesday night around a little after 9 o'clock, 9:15, right in there. But I didn't save her at all. It was the Holy Spirit that drew her and brought her down to Christ. And it was the Holy Spirit said, you need Christ. And she said, yes. It was nothing with me. I might have been a person there to witness it, but it was all her, all God. None of me. That's the trouble, Brother Carl. We get a lot of our own converts. I'm glad I'm a convert of Jesus. I'm glad I'm a convert of the Holy Spirit. We look upon people and write them off as hopeless and impossible cases. But God looks on a person and says, ah, what a wonderful opportunity to win someone to Christ. That's the person I died for. Amen? Now let's look just at a few verses. Verse 26. Look at verse 26. You're going to get out before 12 o'clock. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, though, tonight I'm going to probably preach 45 minutes to an hour. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be an old time kicking, spitting, stuttering. I'm going to shock some of you. So if you don't like that kind of preaching, don't even come. But if you like it, I'd come. Amen? Amen? Look at verse 26. I just want to show a few things about this person's life. And they arrived at the country of Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. You know, Jesus had just crossed over the lake. And just, if you read the scriptures before, we're not going to. But if you'll just notice, they had just crossed over the lake and just went through a storm. The prior verses. And this man greeted him. As soon as he got off, man, this guy greeted him. Are you with me? How many are still with me? Jesus had just crossed over the lake and went through a storm. And let me ask you, I want to give you a couple of questions to think about. I wrote down two questions for us to think about. Did you ever think that maybe this person was the reason Jesus crossed over? You know, there's a reason for us to go places. I got thinking about my trip to Toledo. That was at the last minute, to be honest with you. That wasn't on our calendar to go to Toledo for months. No, it was just a window. You gave us some money to spend and some food to eat. And we saw the school starting. And I got some preachers here. And I said, boy, Rosie, if we don't leave now, we're never going to get out of here. Hello? But Annie, God knew all the time. God knew all the time what was going to happen on that trip. And Josh, we got to Toledo about right around 6 o'clock. We normally, to be honest with you, church, I'm just going to be up front, and I think you ought to be in church. Normally, no matter where I'm at, I don't care if it's Wednesday, Sunday nights or Wednesdays or Sunday, I'm in church. Even when I'm away from it, I'm in church. To be honest with you, usually I'm preaching somewhere. Even when I'm not here, I'm either at Brother Perry's church or Brother Dan. I'm at somebody's church. When I'm not here, I'm still in church. Even if I'm not preaching, I'm still in church. And to be honest with you, we planned either go to Danny's church or Joe and Cindy's church, Heritage Baptist, Brother Alice's, or Brother Perry's. I usually try to check on my preacher boys while I'm there. I didn't get a chance to check on my preacher boy this week. Because I didn't go to his church none. And we got there late and was running late and we were hungry. And we stopped and ate at the Big Boy right there on Navarre Avenue. Amen. I had a Swiss Miss. Had the rye bun with a piece of cheese on it. And oh, man, was it good. Had a cup of coffee. Amen. Rosie had that Big Boy and French fries. And, you know, and... You know, we 20 years ago we used to live there, so it changed a lot. We'd have walked in late at 20 after 6 or somewhere in there to get out there. So preacher missed church for the first time. Hello, I'm confessing. Amen. I'm telling you for a reason. We went down to Woodville Mall. We didn't go in, we just drove. There's two stores left there, Anderson's, which is a great store, Anderson's, and then Sears and Roebuck, which is still a good store too. And my sister Patty just lives in Pemberville, Ohio, down Woodville Road, going towards Elmore. And I told Rose, I said, you know, I haven't seen Patty for 3 years. You don't understand, folks, I love my family. But I take care of you 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Hello? Many times we overlook. Sometimes we overlook our own family, and we shouldn't. Are you with me? And my sister's kind of reclusive. Even if you call her, she don't answer the phone. If you knock, there, last time I was there, we knocked on the door time before, and she, no one would come to the door. And I said, let's go down and see if Pat's there. And we went down there and drove and found the house. Knocked on the door, nothing happened. I just kept knocking on the door. And all of a sudden, here comes the door opened. I even grabbed their mail. They hadn't even got their mail in yet. And my sister said, oh, Rich, I've been thinking about you so much. And we hugged each other. And I kissed her and told her I loved her. Hadn't seen her in 3 years. Hadn't talked to her in 3 years. I spent 3 hours with her, at least, her and Andy, her husband. And I'll be honest with you. It was a great time. We had fun just sharing about our family and looking at, she has a couple little antiques. Of course, me and Patty's all like her brother. She likes the antique stuff. She don't like radios, but she likes old furniture and stuff. And I told her I wanted to see Jerry. And, you know, her husband works right where my brother Jerry works. He told my brother that, your preacher brother Rich is in Toledo for 2 days, 3 days. And he wants to see you. And you know, the next day Jerry called me, my brother, because I didn't have his phone number. He lives up in Monroe, Michigan. I had a vague opportunity. I've been to his house once before, but I didn't really know how to get back up there. But I'd be purposed. I wanted to see him. And Andy, my brother-in-law, who I was with Sunday night, he went and told my brother, Jerry, that I was there. And my brother called me at the motel the next day. Hello? But when we walked out of there, Mark, I told, well, even when we thought, you remember I told you, I said, you go to your mom and daddy, you be with your family. You know what? Look up here. You need to love your families. Amen. Don't forget God, but love your families. We walked out of there that Sunday night around 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I told Rose, I said, honey, we miss church. I don't miss church. But I told Rose, I said, honey, I feel bad we missed church. But I said, in my heart, I believe God was pleased that I was with my family tonight. Not knowing that my sister-in-law would be saved on Tuesday. My brother called me on Monday. I set up a thing to go with him on Tuesday. And he told me how to get to his house. And, of course, you know the story. I went up to Tuesday from 6 o'clock to about 9:30. I spent 3.5 hours with my brother. And Karen got saved. You know what? It's amazing that I would take that trip and leave on a Sunday afternoon. Just catch my sister at the right time. My brother-in-law would call my brother, talk to my brother the next day with excitement. And my brother would call me. I mean, you know, God has a reason. Amen. How many are still with me? Amen. God has a reason for things. If we just, and look up here, and Pastor Dave mentioned this in the Sunday school. Oh, boy, next week he's going to be preaching on depression. You ought to come, even if you don't come to Sunday school, you ought to come to Sunday school next week. He's preaching on how to work with that depression. But he said, the main thing is to be in the will of God. And I knew I was in the will of God. I knew I was in the will of God going to Toledo. I'm not trying to act like I'm super spiritual because I'm not. But I knew that's what God wanted. And see, look up here now. It says that Jesus crossed, even went through a storm. Aren't you glad he went through a storm to reach you and I? The storm called Calvary. How many are glad Jesus went through the darkness and the troubling waves for you and I. Well, he crossed that sea and he crossed that storm and through the and he went through all that problem. And did you ever wonder, did he cross? Was this the reason he went to the other side? Think about that. Was this the reason that Christ came to the other side? And did you ever think maybe Jesus knew that this man was on the other side and needed him to come? And that Jesus knew this man would never come to him, but that Jesus could come to this man and make a difference? That Debbie or someone sings a song, it's so true. He came to me. He came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. You know what? That man couldn't come to him, but Jesus came to him. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus came for us too? Amen. And I got thinking about that song and thinking about this man, this wild man that was a maniac that went around naked and tore things apart and couldn't be tamed. He couldn't come to Christ, but Christ came to him. Make me think, Brother Mike, that maybe this man was the whole reason. I'm not saying it was, but maybe this was part of the reason why Jesus crossed over through that storm. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And notice verse 27. By the way, there'd be times that he might put you in a place that he comes just so he can be with you. Verse 27 says this man of the Gadarenes had devils. And by the way, look what it says there in verse 27. He had devils a long time. This just didn't happen. He was filled with these devils for a long time. And I noted, why didn't people reach out to help him before Jesus came? He had him it wasn't just a short time. He had it for a long time. That means I don't see anybody else reaching out to him. Where were the people? They wrote him off. Just like you and I write off people. Sometimes these motorcycle guys come in here and you look at their appearance and you let some of those motorcyclist guys, people scare you. Some of those people are just as calm as you and I. Look at Sean, laughing, having a good time, calm, collective. You know what? They need Jesus just like you and I. But how many times do we write people that we don't like the way they dress or the way they look? You know, there's a lot of people we say, well, man, I'm not messed. I don't like the way they look. Hello? I'm just trying to make a point. See, how many times do you, and I do it too. We go play and say, look at that freak. What a clown. Look at that dumb, that guy's an idiot. Look at that lunatic. Or I'll be in the mall. You want to see Happy Valley. You just go to any mall. Brian, I go to malls and even when I got a good leg, the girls do their shopping, I find a place for a coffee and I sit down, I drink my coffee. I say, just come back and pick me up, Rosie. I'll be right here. If there's a Radio Shack, I'll be right by the Radio Shack. This is Fruit Cup City. And I'll see those people walk up and down those aisles, red hair and green hair and all kinds of stuff in their nose and their tongues and their ears. And I'll say, good night, good night. And we write them off. We write them off. Just like they wrote this man off. And God's saying to me, don't write those people off. Don't give up on those people so easy. I died for them too. I care about them too. And by the way, they got feelings just like you, and they need me just like you did. And we look and see, because of the exterior and because they don't do things that I agree with, and they look like morons and Martians. When I was a little kid, we always, see, we didn't have all this stuff, you kids. A preacher came just a little bit after Ben Franklin. And we used to talk about the Martians. They're going to land on our planet someday. Little green people and stuff. We used to say, the Martians are coming, the Martians are coming. I told you a story, but it's the truth. One day I was in the mall, and man, these kids were with their noses and 55 earrings and whatever those piercings, and then their bellies and five, and their hair was green. And I wrote, Rose! Rose! She said, what's the matter? I said, they've landed. They've landed. She said, who landed? I said, the Martians. They've always said they would, and they have. They're here today. I saw them at the mall. The Martians have landed. They have. I seen them, Betty. They're there. They had to be some kind of animal. They weren't human. And they got their pants and their... And they're all the way down here. And they got their, I think it's a shirt or, but it's like their big bellies out and everything. You know. And I said, I'll go in the next point. But, and they got all the, and I even see adults do this now, Steve. It really bothers me. Because, I mean people my age. I actually want to go up there and pop them in the back of their head. And say, you idiot. When I was a kid, we would have holes in our overalls. You know those blue breeches that you wear? Is that what they call them, overalls? Trousers? Jeans. Carl, and our, when we would, because we, that's all we ever wore was those jeans, those blue jeans every day. We had two pairs. We wore Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we had the same ones. How many know what I'm talking about? And they would get, because we'd always be down in football and stuff, we'd get after the green stains, and then they got, that's something they could start putting on those new ones. Put green stains in them too. Put grass stains on them. There, hey, we could do a new fashion, Carl. Where are the grass stains? They ain't thought of that yet. But they used to rip the knees out all the time. Then you'd go around with holes until your mom would put patches on them. And I mean, they'd have, and we'd have to, because we'd have money to buy new ones. But now they, I'm not kidding you, they buy new ones with the holes already in them. Yeah. Honest to God, I'm not lying to you. No, you think I'm not, they literally buy overhauls. I'm not making this up. They actually buy brand new overhauls with the jeans ripped out. Man, I'm cool. I'm cool, man. I got holes in my jeans. Look at my back. They're all ripped out. The hind end's hanging out. The knees here. And you think there's something wrong with me. Bobby, June, they think we're, something's wrong with us. And I think, boy, Grandma, what are we missing? I lost where I was. 27. He was there a long time, and no one tried to help him because they wrote him off as an impossible case. Hey, I'm glad God didn't give up on this man. I'm glad. You know what? I thought about a man that killed Christians. You know, there was a guy named Saul. He was consenting to Stephen's death. And then he was on the road to Damascus with warrants to throw Christians in jail and kill Christians. And then God saved him. Jamie, I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. Hey, Bobby, how many Christians do you think back in the Apostle Paul's day before he got saved? How many would have thought that the Apostle Paul was an impossible case? I'm not going to listen to that guy. He'll kill me. He'll put me. Hello? Christians, how many are listening to me right now? I'm telling you, God got a hold of my heart about this scripture. I'm glad God didn't write the Apostle Paul off.
Amen.
I'm glad he didn't write this maniac off. I'm glad he didn't write me off.
Amen.
And I got something God told me to tell you, because he told me first, don't write people off. Just because they're odd or different, don't write them off. They can be saved. As long as they got life, as long as they got life, they can be saved. We give up on them long before that, though, don't we? Remember, notice, this man was filled with devils and wore no clothes. Look at verse 27. He wore no clothes. He was naked. Naked as a jaybird. I mean, naked. Running around and thought it was, didn't think nothing of it. Now look at verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man that was on the tombs that was naked. Of course, Christ saved him, out of whom the devils were departed. Look what this man, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and look at the next word. He was clothed. He was clothed and in his right mind. How many see that? And I noted something here. After that man was saved and the devils got cast out, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. You see, when Jesus come into your heart and life, we put clothes on.
Amen.
We cover our nakedness. Hey, Christians, you that wear bikinis during the summer, I know we're flipping out now. We're leaving it summer. But when you girls walk around, and by the way, you men too. Yeah, we jump on the girls, but the men are the same thing. I wish Christians had more convictions about their clothing.
Amen.
You ladies ought to wear skirts below your knees. You ought not wear these mini skirts and these things slip way up to your... That's... You know, in the old days, those people that wore... The women that wore that, they were known as harlots. I want to make a statement. They need to be making statements in the fundamental churches again. We need a godliness.
Amen.
We need a holiness.
Amen.
We need a modesty among the Christian ladies and men.
Amen?
Amen? And I know some. This here, Susie got saved, got the devils out. He put clothes on. So you young people, I want to wear this little skimpy stuff. That ain't godly. Matter of fact, I wrote this down. When you wear clothes that show your nakedness, it is devilish. Let me make that again. When you wear clothes that show all your nakedness, that is devilish. And it's not godly. Thank you, preacher. And that goes for summer, winter, or any time of the year. Amen? Our attitude, by the way, now he did his clothing changed. His attitude changed. He was in his right mind. You know, we get a different mind for the things of God when we get saved. We need to have the mind of God. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing, Brother Mark, when people get saved, how they get a different mind? They get a different attitude? They get a different heart? You wonder what's wrong with people that they say, well, I don't think nothing's wrong. I don't think this is wrong. You better check your heart. Your heart might be not right. You might not even be saved. Because when you really get saved, you get a changed heart, a changed mind, a changed attitude. I'm not saying we can't backslide. Don't understand me. But I'm going to tell you, people that are really saved, they care about the things of God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, we need to get back to the old time preaching, don't we? Amen. Lastly, look at verse 28. Please. Well, it's almost last. Look at 28, when he saw Jesus. That's what makes a difference in people's lives. They must see Jesus. Jesus is a difference maker. Too much religion. I was talking, I did Friday, not only did I have to go to the doctor at 4 o'clock, but I had to do a funeral at 1 o'clock. And a few months ago, Grandpa Ozak, I came out to, Grandpa was 88, and Grandpa, he was a real sick. And Grandpa Ozak wanted to talk to me. And they wanted to cut his leg off. And he said, I want your opinion. I said, well, Grandpa, that's your leg. You do what you want. It's your, you know, I'm not going to tell you. He said, no, preacher, just tell me what your opinion is, though. He said, I brought you out. I wanted to talk to you. I want to hear from you. I said, well, Grandpa, at your age, at 88 years old, to be honest with you, if they cut your leg off, you probably won't make it anyways. If I was you, I'd try to find a way they could just stand up, and I would try to work around it, and I wouldn't cut my leg off. Amen. At 88 years old. He said, thank you. That's exactly what I thought. I just wanted to hear it. And I said, Grandpa, while we're talking face to face, let me ask you about Christ, because you're going to die. It's been a long time since Grandpa O has ever been in this church. He came when I first got here. I said, Grandpa O, his name was Stephen Ozak, good man. I said, Steve, do you know if you die? He said, yes, I know where I'm going. And he took me right back when he was a younger man. He trusted Christ as Savior. And I mean, Brother Mark, I spent 30 minutes or more to make sure he realized he was a lost sinner, and that he was, when he asked Christ, he said, I was going to hell. I knew I was going to hell. I knew I needed Christ. And I mean, I might have spent an hour about his soul. When I walked out of there, man, I was jumping. I said, hey, man, Grandpa was saved. Because I knew I'd be preaching his funeral. I said that for a reason. I believe you ought to go to church. But ain't no church got anyone in heaven. Church don't get you to heaven. How many millions of people that go to church are going to go to hell? I'm going to give you some statistics tonight about the how many people we think they're saved in churches. It's going to knock you right out of your chair. You'd be amazed. I'm going to let it fly tonight. And I said to him, I said, well, Grandpa, you don't have to go to church to be saved. He used to go to church when he was younger. But I'm glad he was saved. I'm glad he had faith in Christ. Amen. By the way, if you're here today, the most important thing that for you is that you have faith in Christ. If you don't have faith in Christ, you're going straight to hell. If you never saw yourself a lost, you never saw yourself going to hell. My sister-in-law didn't ever, she was a good person, but she didn't ever see herself going to hell. You got to get lost before you can get saved. And I was glad to hear that he was saved. Jesus is a difference maker, isn't he? That's the trouble with people. Brother Carl, A lot of church converts and not converts of God. Right. Jesus is a difference maker. That's what changed my life, Christ. Look at this last verse, 38 and 39. I'm all done. 38 and 39. By the way, has Jesus been the difference maker in your life? Has Jesus been the difference maker in your life? Has Jesus been the difference maker in your life? He was the difference maker in this maniac's life. He was a difference maker in the Apostle Paul's life. Difference maker in my life. What about your life? Has Christ been the difference maker in your life? If he hasn't, you better search your soul, because you're probably not going to go to heaven. Because you got to be born again to get this being a nice person and being religious. And I'm a Baptist. You can be a fundamental Baptist and go straight to hell. Matter of fact, I believe lots of people in fundamental Baptist church are going to hell. I believe that. I'm going to let it all fly tonight. I'm going to give you all kinds of stuff tonight. Your thing's going to curl tonight when I give it to you. You wonder what's wrong with the churches? You got a majority of people aren't even saved. We got to get back to the old time religion. Where salvation is not just saying a prayer. By the way, I believe in soul winning. I believe in witnessing more than ever now. But people got to realize they're lost. Just saying a prayer don't get you to heaven. Now the man of, if people don't see themselves going to hell, they're not saved. If you never saw yourself going to hell, you're not going to heaven. Because for you to be saved, you got to be lost. When I got saved from an old green couch, you know why, Billy? Because I knew I was done going to hell. And I got down, I was crying. God saved my soul from hell. God, I don't want to go to hell. If you never saw yourself going to hell, you're not going to heaven. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save them which are lost. Luke 19:10. If you never got lost, you never got saved. Hello? And there's thousands of people come to the church, get baptized, then they never saw themselves lost. I'll be on it tonight. Let me finish this one here. I'm giving you previews of tonight. Now the man of whom the devils was departed besought him that he might be with him. But when Jesus, after he got saved, he wanted to be with Jesus. Isn't it amazing once people get saved, they want to really be with Christ? They want to hear about Christ. They want to know about Christ. But look at verse 39. Return to thine own house and show how great things God had done unto thee. Look at that. Jesus said, no, you're saved. Now I want you to go back home and show your family what I did for you. And I wrote this down, and I'm all done. Jesus told the man to go back to his own family and show them what Jesus did in his life. The question is, why do we fail to reach our families? Why do we fail to reach our families? And we do. You know why I was so excited about this trip? Because I spent time with my family. The highlight, and I picked up a couple old-time radios for almost nothing. I picked up a couple radios from the 40s for $2.50 each. Oh, I love it. Yabba dabba doo. Oh, tweedledee, tweedledee-dum. Bobby, I've got some sweet radios for nothing. And they're antiques. And they're all cleaned up, looking phenomenal now. And that was great. But that wasn't what lit me up. I had so much joy going home with Rosie. Because I got to be with my family. I literally spent two different days with my family who I haven't seen for 3 years. My brother and my sister, the only kids I've got left in my family. And I cried with them. And I told them, I said, I'm sorry. I should be here more. And I should. I said, I don't make it. But I said, usually I'm so tied up at the church. I don't want to leave the church. I can't even after I'd left, Grandpa Old died the day after I left. They didn't call me till Wednesday, or Tuesday it was, I think, because they were afraid I'd come right back home. You're right, Katie. I probably would have came home sooner if I would have known things. But I went home just knowing that I got to spend time with my family. Boy, we ought to love our families. I'm going to get this point to you. Why do we not go to our families? In most cases, we don't go to our families because Jesus said, go show what great things he's done, what I've done in your life. Many times we don't live a life that portrays Christ in front of our families. We do the, we put on the dog, like David said in Sunday school, we put on the dog to make people think, like other people that don't know us well, to make them think what we aren't. Hello? But in front of our own family, we live like the devil. Hello? And I'm all done. And in most times, we picture our families kind of like this maniac of the maniac, as impossible cases. You know why we think they're impossible cases? Because we never go to them in the fashion of Christ. Oh, I can't reach my family. There's no respect in your own home. My brother Jerry told me, he said, I know you're my brother. He said, but I don't want you to be offended, but he said, I think of you more of a man of God than I do my own brother. What a compliment. He said, I tell everybody about my brother. And boy, now he's gone. I give him some Got Life tracks, and he's gonna be set on fire at work. He said, I've been working there 20 years and haven't witnessed like I should. He was crying. I'm going back. I said, you can't do nothing about the past. But Jerry, you can go there and set it on fire right now till Jesus comes. And I believe right now my brother's, this whole week, and last week, I guarantee he was witnessing to people. Sometimes we just get out of sync, don't we? But a lot of our families die and go to hell because we don't go back to them. We look like that. We do this man of the tombs. An impossible. I can't win my mother. I can't win my brother. I can't win my father. I can't win my cousin. That's for the preacher to do. We look at them in impossible cases. Jesus told this man, no, I'm glad you want to be with me, but you go back to your house. You fathers, you mothers, you ought to typify Christ in front of your kids. They ought to see Christ in you. Maybe they'll grow up and be great Christians. Hello? Oh, it's quieter right now. That's good. I think God's got your heart right now. See, we look at our families as impossible cases. Nothing's impossible with God. And he just says, go back. And show your family what great things I've done for you. Hey, this week, let's take some time for our family and let's show them what great things Christ has done for us. And by the way, no matter who we meet this week, let's don't write them off as an impossible case. Because there is no impossible case with God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had in the Word of God. And I pray, dear Father, for these Christians that they would go back to their homes and their families. And they would show them what great things Christ has done for them. Some of them have wrote people. Some of them here today, there's no doubt in my mind, there are people here today that they've got good friends or family members that they have wrote off, said it's impossible to reach them. They've given up on. There are people that they've given up on. And God, today, I believe you want me to tell them not to give up on them. They can be saved. Go back with a renewed heart and renewed strength and a more fervence of Christ. With the power of God, and reach those people that seem to be unreachable. Reach those that are unlovely. Reach those who everyone says that's impossible to reach out to. Reach out to those that don't get reached out to. Care about those that people don't care about. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. First of all, how many could say, preacher, I know I'm a lost soul, and there was a time I knew I was going to hell, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. I know for sure I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I'm positive that I'm saved. Thank you. May put them down. How many would be honest with themselves and honest with God and say, preacher, I'm not sure 100%. I really am. I'm not sure 100%. If I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. Put it, I won't embarrass you. I'll just pray for you. Just raise your hand. Put it up now. Let's see him. Put him up. Yes. God bless you. Who else? I'm not sure that took courage to do that. Yes, ma'am. Who else? Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to go to hell either. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. And I don't blame you. Then lastly, how many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but there's some people, maybe friends or people you work with or a family member that you have given up on, and say, preacher, God spoke to my heart today. There has been a person that I've given up on, and I need to go and try to win that person. God help me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 all over the building. Yes, God bless you. You know what? I'd come to the altar and say, God, help me reach that person that I gave up on. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart for everyone that doesn't know you for sure. I pray they'll walk the aisle and ask Christ to save them and really get saved. Not to join the church, not to get baptized, but to get into heaven. To ensure that when they die, they go to heaven. That they get Christ that loves them and died for them and rose and coming back. And when they die, and they will die, and when they take that last breath, they'll know that Christ will be there to take their eternal soul up to heaven with them. Please, I know there were some people that raised their hands. Help them to come and be saved today. And help those Christians that have given up on people. Some people here got family members. There are members here that have got family members and they've given up on them. I pray that you'll renew their heart to not give up, to go again, to try again, to care again. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.